Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to the fourth webinar in the Definitive Newsletter Marketing Blueprint. So last time, Ben grilled me quite exhaustively on how to create content for your newsletter that your subscribers, you know, can't wait to receive and are looking forward to read. And tonight, we're going to probably fill in the final piece of the puzzle, because having a good newsletter is one thing. Having it so that you maximise the return on your investment is a whole different ballgame. So the most important element we believe in newsletter success is actually the frequency and the consistency, which is why we tell everyone to do it monthly. And that's rhythmic enough that it keeps you front of mind in your customer's mind all the time. It also means that if you're consistent about getting your newsletter out on time, it's going to look and feel like a publication, not a random solicitation or piece of advertising. And as we discussed last time, people who consume are reading your newsletter as a publication see it as information, and that means that they don't actually have their sales defences up when it gets read. So, and unfortunately, getting out on time every month is also probably the single hardest part of producing a newsletter. So we're going to give you tonight, I'm going to be grilling Ben on just how on earth we can get our newsletters out every month, get them into our prospects' hands, and actually get the full return on investment that we're entitled to. So I'm going to welcome Ben to the call.
Oh, hey, Zach.
How you doing?
Yeah, really good, thanks.
That's good. So probably I'll start with the first question then, and we'll let you work your magic. Done. I mean, after doing this for some 3 years and not missing an issue, I think you've probably got more to say on the art of getting a newsletter out on time than just about anyone else alive. So first question, mate, why is meeting deadlines so hard month after month after month?
Well, why is it so hard? I think I've got to probably reflect on the first time I ever did a newsletter. And I actually did a newsletter a couple of years before I ever met you, Zach. I sent out a newsletter, and it was just a two-page newsletter front and back, and I sent it out, and, you know, it took me a few hours to put together. I put it together and looked for some content, had to write some articles. I guess I probably spent probably 5 or 6 hours in total if I look at the time writing and sourcing bits and pieces, and I did all that, and then obviously had to print it and do everything else and mail it and, you know, pay the postage and do everything, and finally got the newsletter in, you know, my client's hands, and the response was amazing. Like, I had people calling up saying, oh, you know, thanks for the newsletter, I love that story about, you know, whatever it was I wrote about. And and then the next month I considered doing one, and I basically was planning on doing one and planning on doing it, and then the end of the month came, and I thought, oh, all right, well, I'll make it a bi-monthly newsletter, was my first reaction to that. And then, you know, that month I, you know, had all the intentions of doing it again, and then I got to that month ended, and I got to the next month, and then I really just thought, oh, well, if I can't do it consistently, it's not worth doing. So I just didn't do it until we met that fine day and decided to start up newsletter marketing systems. So it was then that I needed to kind of ask myself the question, like, how can we actually get this done? Like, how can we actually get it done? And I guess what you've got to look at is there's so much that goes into doing a newsletter. And, you know, when you only have to do a print campaign or a mailing campaign once, there's a lot of work that goes into it, you know, organising databases, looking at who you're going to mail, looking at what content you're going to put in there, getting it professionally designed and put together and looking nice, and then finally getting it printed and mailed and everything else. So you've got to do all of that. And just to do it once is a lot of hard work for a lot of businesses, especially if they're not doing it very often. So what happens with a newsletter is, you don't just have to do it one time. You have to do it every month consistently, which makes it really difficult. And the other thing is you've got to constantly be on the lookout for content. You can't just be like, oh, yeah, I'll just sit down and write a newsletter. Like, throughout that entire month, you've got to be on the lookout for what's been going on, what can I include in my newsletter, and actually be archiving that stuff so you've got stuff ready to use. So I think that's probably why it's so hard for most people, if they don't have the right, structures in place, to get a newsletter out in a regular, consistent fashion. It's usually sporadic, or they'll do three and stop.
I think a lot of our clients' experiences, and that's why they came to us to get their newsletters done every month, was they'd do three, they'd get a great response, then they'd miss two, and then they'd do one, and then they'd miss two, and then they'd do three, and then they'd look back and go, oh, that really could have been a whole lot better, and would have gotten so much better results. What's missing? And I think a lot of them were just winging a newsletter from month to month. So, I mean, why is the sort of make it up as I go along or just wing it strategy not the way to go?
Yeah, well, I think the reason it's not the way to go, because, look, you can wing it once or twice, but to consistently wing it isn't going to work. And the reason is because marketing in general, and people don't do it with just newsletters, they do it with all sorts of marketing as well, but they... You know, marketing and newsletters, they make you busy. And when you're busy doing the work that needs to be done, you're generally not thinking about, let's put a newsletter out to get my, you know, to nurture my clients and get new clients in the door and generate referrals. That's usually not what's on your brain when things are, you know, when things are busy. And you'll find that a lot of people will look at marketing when you're in that sort of slump where you don't have a lot of work on, so you have a bit of time to consider marketing. You think, let's do a newsletter. Do a newsletter, you suddenly get busy, you don't have time to do a newsletter, so you just forget about it or you put it to the bottom of the pile. And that tends to be what happens with a lot of businesses. So, but with a newsletter, the main reason you can't wing it is there's lots of parts to it. So you've got the writing that needs to be done, so the actual content, what goes in there. You need the design to actually put it together. You've got the printing process and then also the mailing and distribution process. So you've got lots of moving parts. So each one needs to be considered. There's lots of detail and ideas and specific things that need to be decided about each of those things. And to just wing that is pretty hard, especially to do it consistently, because you need to do one every month, so you don't get a break. It's not like, all right, well, when this one's done, I can take a few weeks off and just relax and do my next newsletter, you know, when it's done, because your next newsletter is being done now before, you know, the next one goes out. So you're always on the lookout. You're always doing a newsletter all month long, which can be quite overwhelming for a lot, and that's why people get stopped. And like I said before, you know, business owners, they're just too busy to remember. So when you get busy, you forget about your newsletter, like you really do. And I don't know about you, Zach, but it doesn't feel like, you know, we've only got a few more days of July today. Like it feels like July only popped around a couple of days ago. It feels like we're only a week into July, but we're actually 3 weeks in.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, I'm always wondering where time went.
Yeah, you are. And you get to the end of the month and it doesn't feel like a whole 30 days have passed. And that's kind of the trap that a lot of business owners doing newsletters fall into, especially if they don't have any reminders or anything like that. They simply forget. They have every intention of doing it, but intention alone doesn't get things done. And I think the biggest reason why you kind of can't continually wing it is because you're bound to stuff up. And when you do, you're going to get behind. And once you're behind, it's nearly impossible to catch up. You know, you can't just think, all right, well, I got behind this month, I'll do two newsletters this month. And, you know, then you're constantly behind. And once you're behind, you'll find that the usual situation is you get quite disempowered by it all and you just decide to stop. So, you know, you really need to keep things consistent. You know, that way you know reliably each month what's happening and you can really maximize the benefits by being consistent. Like a newsletter that's consistent is, even if the content's mediocre, is going to be so much more effective than an inconsistent newsletter that has, you know, really high quality content inside it. So consistency trumps content any day of the week when it comes to newsletters.
Yeah, definitely. So I think as they say in the classics, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So the road to newsletter hell certainly seems like it's paved with good intentions. So I guess, I mean, considering we've just discussed how big a trap it is to try and make up as you go along, you know, what's your advice for avoiding this trap, I guess? How do you avoid the make it up as you go along, winging a newsletter kind of trap?
Yeah, well, I mean, the short answer is to be prepared and to actually, you know, have a plan in place. So, I mean, you don't want to be winging it. You want to be very planned in your approach to do a newsletter. So whether you're doing it yourself, whether you're doing it with us, or whether you're doing it in another way and you're having another party involved, whether it's another graphic designer or a different commercial printer, you want to have a plan in place. So there's a few places you can look to, I guess, look for a little bit of salvation when it comes to newsletters. And you being part of this program is huge in, you know, really cutting down the time it's going to take, because the first thing you get is you get our addictive newsletter content, which is you get 3 months for free. So you get your first 3 issues using our addictive newsletter content, which, in case you've forgotten, that's all the general interest articles, articles on all sorts of different topics. You've got your Sudoku puzzles. You've got Did You Know, trivia, jokes, recipes, all the filler content for a newsletter that's not about your business. So you've cut out a whole lot of time that you would have had to be looking online or collecting jokes and trivia and quotes and all of that. That's all been eliminated. So you've probably saved yourself 3 or 4 hours there just by having this at your disposal. So that's great. And obviously after the 3 months, you can continue on with that and just have that as a recurring monthly, you know, bonus that you have. You just continue to get that, which is great and will really make your job easier. So let us do the heavy lifting for you. Wherever possible, use addictive newsletter content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another,
what else?
Another, I guess, way that you can avoid, you know, having to wing it and to actually be prepared is to always be ahead of schedule. Like way ahead of schedule. I'm not talking about just be a week ahead. As a rule of thumb, Zach and I, with all of our newsletters, we always aim to be 45 days ahead. So it's a month and a half ahead at all times. So at the moment, we're mid-July, we're actually writing the newsletter that's going out in August, and we're preparing content for the newsletter going out in September. That's how far ahead we are. And that's how we would suggest that you work as well. Always be ahead, and in that way, if for whatever reason something comes along, any speed bumps in the road, you've got some contingency built in. And if you do hit a rock and you can't actually, you know, do anything for 2 weeks, your newsletter is not going to be stopped or stalled or anything. It just means that you'll have to catch up those 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it is. And I think the probably the third way that you can really avoid, you know, getting into that, getting disempowered with the newsletter and stopping it, is to create systems around getting your newsletter done. So rather than just being like, all right, on my task list to do this month is do a newsletter, which is kind of, I think what a lot of people do when it comes to doing a newsletter is just another task to put on their list of things to do. You don't really want it to just be something on your to-do list. You want to have everything structured as to what task needs to be done by when, by who, and how is it all going to work in unison so that the newsletter reliably turns out the same way each and every month. Obviously not the same, but you know, the same structure, the same process, the same deadlines, you know, with the, you know, obviously a different result in what the content is, but all in all, it's the same reliable, profitable newsletter that you produce.
Definitely. Systems are vital, are vitally important in business, and there's probably no better example than McDonald's. I mean, consistency you need with your newsletter is actually perfectly mirrored by the consistency of McDonald's. I'm not a big fan of the quality of what they do, but I'm certainly a big fan of the consistency. So if you look at a Big Mac that I'm going to go to my local McDonald's in Gisborne, if I get a Big Mac there, I know what I'm in for. If I go on the airport, jump on a plane, head over to Perth, go to the nearest McDonald's from Perth Airport and get a Big Mac, same deal again. It's going to be just about identical. And if I probably go back to the airport, jump on a plane and fly to Hong Kong and order a Big Mac there, it's going to be the same again. That's that consistency of product that is created actually from McDonald's systems. So everywhere you go in the world when you order a Big Mac, they know exactly what type of bun to use, they know how much lettuce to put on, how much special sauce, how to stack the lettuce, the cheese, the meat, the advertising, and then how to put the bun on top, how to wrap it, how to present it. And that's all defined by a system. And that's the sort of systems we need, we need to bring that same systematic approach to producing newsletter. It's the big secret to how Ben's been able to oversee the production of 300,000 newsletters, coming up on 300,000 newsletters now anyway, over the last 3 years. So
yeah, I guess it certainly doesn't happen by accident or by winging it, as you sort of said earlier.
Yeah. So I guess really, for everyone listening in, what systems would we need to get a newsletter out?
Well, there's quite a few parts to a newsletter, and I mean, one of the benefits that you guys are really getting as a result of kind of listening in is, like, when we started this business, I kind of created a system to try and get it done. And look, you know, our systems weren't perfect early on. Like, we struggled, we managed to still get things out, but there was definitely things that didn't work. And we've really refined these systems over, over the last 3 years. And I was kind of talking to Zach the other day about it, and we were sort of saying how we initially thought of doing a product like this, about a year after we started, and we decided not to. And I'm really glad that we did sort of delay that, because our systems have changed and they've improved so much in the last couple of years, and just really seen what can go wrong, what to avoid. Because the systems we're going to show you, we use them to reliably put together so many newsletters each month. It's not just, getting one newsletter out. We've got, we deal with hundreds of clients, with printing, design, all sorts of stuff, and we're getting newsletters out all month. We've got, heaps of newsletters that we're working with, and I... personally, you can't really oversee them all if all you're doing is winging it, because you're just like, all right, well, we've got to get this newsletter and focus on the one newsletter. We've actually got systems that work for all of our newsletters. But all in all, the system per newsletter is virtually the same, and that's what we're going to go through. So before you can really understand how the system works, you need to kind of have a clear understanding of what all the components are that goes into the system. So I think I might just quickly, which it probably won't be quick because there's a lot of them, but I will endeavour to get through it as quick as I can, all the components that make up a newsletter getting out each month.
All right, sounds like a plan.
The first place to look is your content. So this is what is going to be going into the newsletter. So... like I said, you have the option to use your addictive newsletter content in this section. But if you weren't to look at the addictive newsletter content, it's a matter of finding or writing general interest articles. You need to work out who's going to write them, who's going to proofread them and look over them, who's going to approve them and get them ready. Who's going to find images to go along with those? Then you've got to look at other things like your Sudoku puzzles or mazes or trivia or quotes or recipes. Where are you going to source them from? Are you going to write them yourselves? Who's going to do all that? You want to figure out what needs to happen there. Now, if you use your addictive newsletter content, that's, you can put all that aside. But there's still a few things you need to do when it comes to content. You've got to look at your general interest, your personal interest content. So, and your industry article, which we talked about in the content writing module the other week. So you want to look at what are you going to write about? With a client spotlight, is there an interview that needs to happen before you can write that article? And in, with your article, you know, you've got to, after it's written, have it proofread and make sure that it's actually, ready to go in the actual newsletter. You also need to have a look at the stuff for the sidebars in your newsletter. So you've got your proof elements, your things like your testimonials. You want to welcome aboard new clients. Thanks for the referrals. So in order to do all that, you need to have systems in place to actually measure those referrals and jot down who referred this month. So you've got a list, and to be able to list who are the new clients this month. And you need to figure out who is actually in charge of each of those tasks. So who's in charge of actually putting together a list of who the new clients for the month? And how is that going to be delivered to whoever's putting the content together? Is that yourself or is it someone else who's going to be doing? So once you get all that content together, you want to do a final proofread of all your content. And the proofread is a vital step that can really cause some issues if you don't get it done. And one of the things that is definitely worth noting is proofreading your own work is next to impossible if it's kind of only been a few days. Generally, you need to wait a while and look at it with a fresh set of eyes or get a third party, somebody else, to come and proofread for you. So as much as you can use spell checkers, they don't really do the job of proofing. Like the sentence structure, the way things sound, the way things are written, doesn't really get picked up by the spell checkers. So, now once you've got that done, we're almost finished with content. The final thing is to look at who's going to approve that that's the right content to go in there. Who's going to have the final say that yes, that goes in, or no, that doesn't. And you've got to figure out who that person is, how they're going to do that. And then once that's done, how is that going to be then delivered to whoever's putting the content into the newsletter or into the template? So that kind of moves us over to the next, I guess, part, which is the design of your newsletter. Now, in our second module, we talked about the master newsletter template that you guys receive. So hopefully we're going to talk now as though that's already put together. So you've already got that sorted. So that's a one-off thing you need to do is set up your template. Now, once that monthly template's actually sorted and designed, on a month-to-month basis, you need to look at, once you get that content, where is it going to go? What's on the first page? What's on the last page? What's on the middle pages? What's in the sidebars? So you want to look at the placement of everything. You've got to look at what images are going to go with which articles. And once you've got everything in place, you need to then actually probably do one last final proofread and then also actually go ahead and approve the design. And once your design's approved, then it's basically ready for print. And your document will probably need to be exported a certain way in order to be printed by certain, commercial printers. If you've got bleed on your newsletter, and for those of you who aren't sure what bleed is, it's sometimes you'll find that with some printed material, the ink runs off the side of the page, so it looks like the colour goes right to the edge, where you'll find that if you're printing it on an office printer, quite often you can't have the bleed. You actually have a white border around what you're printing. So that's something you want to take into account. Are you doing it with or without bleed? And if so, how are you going to set it up so that it can be printed either on the office printer or if it's being printed elsewhere you know, either with us or with another commercial printer that you use. So that moves us on to the next section, which is what's being printed, basically. And there's a few things you've got to look at with printing. You've got a lot of decisions to make as to exactly what you're going to be printing. And we kind of went over a lot of the decisions to make in our design module. We looked at, you know, whether to do it glossy or whether to do it on bond paper. And you would have probably made all those decisions. So that's one thing you have to do. Then what you want to look at
is... It's worth saying that, just before you go on, it's probably worth pointing out you want to stick with those decisions for the life of your newsletter.
Yeah,
not something you chop and change month to month.
Yeah, I think for the most part you want to be pretty consistent in your delivery. I mean, it's one of those things you can probably every now and then, if you have a purpose for it, swap it up. But the majority of the time, be consistent with the look and feel of your newsletter. So with the printing, are you printing it in-house? Are you printing it on your office printer, or are you using a commercial printer? Are you printing the envelopes yourself? Are you using labels? We don't recommend labels, but it's a question to ask. How are you actually going to get the name of the recipients onto the envelope? And then you've got all sorts of other considerations as to what font. Are you going to do it stealthily, like we suggested, which is, you know, with a handwritten font and a live stamp, or are you going to do it, you know, print post with barcoding, or get a print post number and do it that way, which obviously doesn't look stealthy and it doesn't have that letter from grandma feel to it. It's got a real business commercial, looks like a bill type look to it. So just some considerations you need to make. Once you've actually got decided on all that, you need to figure out how you're going to be getting your artwork to your printer. Has it got to be emailed? Does it have to be uploaded via Dropbox or Google Drive or some other file sharing program? Then for the most part, if you're doing it in-house, you've got a whole bunch of other things you need to do. You need to, you know, actually have your newsletter once it's printed. You need to fold it. If there's stapling to do, if it's an 8-page, you need to do the stapling. And you need to sort out how it's actually going to be ready to be put into the envelope. If you're getting it done by a commercial printer, chances are you'll just pay them to print it, fold it, and deliver it to wherever it needs to go. Either you get it delivered, or you might need to figure out, you know, who's going to collect it, and then where do they have to take it there? Are you taking it to a mail fulfillment house, or are you taking it to back to your own office to have some of your staff fill the envelopes? Are you going to pay your kids to stuff the envelopes? There's all sorts of things to consider. So that's basically the printing part of it. And then finally, you've got to look at the mail fulfillment. And I can't believe how long this conversation is going on, but really it just illustrates how much there is to consider with each and every newsletter. So mail fulfillment, first thing you want to look at is, have you prepared your database? Who's in charge of preparing the database? Are the fields set up correctly? Do you have your first name, your last name, business name if it's necessary, the address, the suburb, the state, postcode? Is all that set up? Once it's been set up, have you actually, from a month-to-month basis, how is it being updated with all the new recipients? How have you taking on board letters that have returned to sender, like have they been removed from the database? Once that's been done, how is that going to be then merged with the letters, the letter printing? Is it going to be done, you know, with a mail merge in Microsoft Word, and are you printing them on your office printer? Or is that something you need to deliver to your printer to have printed, or deliver to your mail fulfillment house to actually have it done there? Or if you're using us, have you prepared your database for us to be able to use? And there's all sorts of things you can run on those databases. You can do duplication checks to make sure that you're not sending the same letter to the same place twice. And there's a few other things that you can do on it as well. So once you've actually looked at how you're going to get the name onto the envelope, you want to look at how you're actually going to get the newsletter put into the envelope. Is it something that you're actually going to outsource, or are you doing it in-house if you've got staff who are sitting there folding envelopes and folding newsletters, sorry, and putting them in the envelopes? Are you going to use a live stamp afterwards? Do they have to do that by hand? Or are you going to pay someone else to do it and just have them do it by machine? Or are they going to do it in a way that actually is out of your hands? So if you are doing it yourself, you're going to need to go to the Australia Post. You're going to need to go buy the stamps if you're actually doing doing the stamps yourself and actually stick them on. And then finally, you need to, once you've got this pile of newsletters that are all in envelopes and ready to go, you have to then take them down to Australia Post and lodge them, whether you sit there and stand at one of those red post boxes and just spend 10 minutes putting, you know, just a handful in at a time, or do you actually go down, chuck them all in a shopping trolley and go down to the, you know, the local post office and do it that way, or, you know, do you pay a mail fulfillment house or else to actually take that off your hands and do it for you? There's all sorts of things to consider, and it really depends on your budget and what your capabilities are. So I guess what I want to, like, look at is, you know, we can actually do the mail fulfillment and printing and a few other sides. So we can help you there. Now, there are lots of moving parts, and I guess the problem with there being lots of moving parts is that there's lots of places that things can go wrong. So, and when things go wrong, it's going to delay things, it's going to stall things so that the next part can't happen, you know. If an article's not ready at the beginning of the month, that then delays the design process. If the designer's waiting on an image that's, you know, and that delays it, then there's more delays. If the database isn't quite ready, it's going to delay things. Or if something happens at the printer and something goes wrong, it's going to delay it. So you've got to look at, with the more moving parts there are, the more chances there are that things are going to go wrong.
Yep, no, definitely. Probably the other thing to stress, that the good side to having lots of moving parts is doing this successfully means it's impossible for your competitors to copy you. And that's a big advantage. So, I mean, you've got a huge strategic advantage over your competitors if you can get if you can actually master this and get a newsletter out every month and get a positive return on investment. Like, there's just, like, you're so far ahead in terms of winning the war, you probably won't even believe it. So I think that's, I mean that's, you know, quite an overwhelming list, Ben. No yeah. Two ways about it. How do we make this simpler for ourselves? Because, I mean, that is just far too much to be left up in the air to guesswork every month.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that people haven't left the call thinking, screw this, it's too hard. But, you know, we're not committed that it be that hard for you guys. We actually want to make it as simple and as doable as possible. And there is some easy ways to make that happen. And I guess what we do to do that is by systemizing it. So basically, you've prepared your master template. Sorry, so you've got your master template sorted. So that there gives you a nice structure to actually work with each month. Now you've also got your addictive newsletter content. So that actually eliminates having to search for any general interest content. You've got all your filler content. That's 50% of your newsletter done. So really, all you've got left as far as writing and design, because your master template is essentially the sort of the design part of it. It gives you a structure. You've got a design that works, and it's designed in such a way that you don't have to spend a lot of time on it either, and it has consistency from month to month. So if you use your addictive newsletter content and you have prepared your master template, you also have the option to basically have the print and fulfillment done elsewhere. So, I mean, look, some of you will want to do it in-house. You've got a nice new printer that doesn't get used that much and you want to use it up. You might have some staff who have some spare time and they can sit there and stuff envelopes, and it's not going to really affect you. But for a lot of you who are time poor, it's going to really make sense to outsource it. And in some cases, it'll actually be cheaper to outsource it than to print it in-house anyway, when you look at the costs of, you know, colour toner and colour ink and stuff, especially if you are doing, you know, prints of more than, say, 300 or 400. If you want, you do have the option to outsource that entirely. We actually offer a full service of basically print and fulfillment. So we can print your newsletters, get them folded, get them stuffed into envelopes, get your database, and then print it on the envelope, get it all put together and out the door each and every month quite reliably and easily. So that really all that leaves you to do is to write a personal interest article and write an industry article and put them into your master template each month. And if that's all you've got to do is just write those two articles, and then also there may be, you know, if you want to add a testimonial or a welcome aboard here or there, that's all you need to put in place, and that's all you have to do each month to actually get your newsletter out. So what that does is it really cuts down the structure. So if that's the way you want to go, you're basically tapping into our systems and using our systems for the actual print and fulfillment, using our systemized approach to actually get your addictive newsletter content done. You're basically really just cutting the work down. You probably a tenth of the work you'd need to do than if you did it on your own.
How long do you reckon that'd take them each month?
What, to just do the two?
Just do the two articles, get all the design done up. I mean,
I would say your first couple are probably going to take you 2 to 3 hours. But you'll find that after that, I reckon you'll be able to get them done in a couple of hours quite easily. It really shouldn't take more than that. If it does take more than that, it's probably just more than anything, it's a writing skill. It's just you've got to develop your skill in how to write, and that'll come with practice. It really will. Yep. Before you know it, you'll be writing articles in less than an hour. The design part doesn't take much at all. So,
lovely. Because, I mean, a couple of hours every month sounds much more manageable. We've talked about this a bit, about the importance of getting your newsletter out the door the same time every month. I mean, can you explain why that's so important, and also then go into how do we do that?
All right, yeah, cool. So, I mean, basically you want to get the newsletter out the exact same date or time every month. And we kind of build it around what we call our fulfillment calendar. So what we do is we've chosen a monthly postage date, so a date of the month that reliably the newsletter goes out on. We recommend you go with the 15th of the month, basically because it's the middle of the month and it doesn't clash. So the 15th doesn't land on any special public holidays like Christmas or Easter or, Anzac Day or anything like that. It's all the 15th doesn't have any special days, and it's also, it means that you can get your your December newsletter around Christmas and also your January newsletter after the new year, and it's not going to interrupt people's holiday periods, because you'll find that a lot of businesses and a lot of people are in holiday mode from about the 20th of December through to about the 10th of January. So you miss that holiday period and you still get to hit them at the December point just before they're on their shopping frenzies, and in January just after they've come back and they're ready to get back into things. So I'd say go with the 15th unless you've got a compelling reason not to. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is we kind of work backwards from there. So what we do is if we're sort of mailing on the 15th, then we want to move back about 15 days, so back to the beginning of the month. And that's when we want to have it basically ready for printing. So you want to have your newsletter, all the content put together in your template, all prepared and ready to print by the first of the month. And basically we want to give ourselves a good sort of 15 days. That'll give us 2 weeks to get the newsletter printed, mailed, and everything. So now if you're doing that yourself, you don't really know how long it's going to take if you're using a commercial printer, how long they're going to take. You usually find that for this sort of thing, they may take up to sort of about a week, and then you want to also allow the time for any sort of courier delays if it's being delivered to a mail fulfillment house, or if it's being delivered to yourself. You just want to take into account the couriers, and I don't know if you've ever had things stuck on couriers, but chasing that down can sometimes turn a overnight delivery into a two-week delivery. So you want to sort of take that into account, that there could be delays there. So if you can get your, I guess, the contingencies in place so that you've got that time up your sleeve if in case something goes wrong with the printing. Then what we do is we allow another 30 or so days to actually to write and design the newsletter. So to actually get all the content prepared and to actually put it into the master template and proofread it and do all that sort of stuff. So with that 15 days and that 30 days, that gives us our 45 days that we kind of talked at earlier about being ahead by a month and a half. So, I mean, probably the easiest way is to kind of give you a quick example. So at the moment we're in July. So we're already started on our August newsletter. So let's use September as an example. So September's newsletter is going to be in the mail on the 15th. That's the aim. So we want to go
15th of September, 40, to be clear.
Sorry, 15th of September. Good point, Zach.
Yeah.
So basically, in order to be sort of 45 days out, we want to start the process for September's newsletter on the 1st of August. So August 1, let's say that the tasks that need to be done on August 1 is we want our articles and our content written by that date. So by the 1st of August, we want to have your personal interest and your industry articles written. And then let's say the next step is you want to have your article and content proofread. So on the first of the month, you have it written and you basically send it to whoever's doing the proofreading, and you might want to give them 3 days. So let's say by the 3rd of August, you have your proofread articles and content ready. And then they're sent to whoever's putting them in the design template. So that process, we probably want to have that done by the first draft of that probably done by the middle of the month, by about the 15th, to have that design all put together with the images put in there, and to have it ready to go. Then you'll find that going back and forth with proofing, so actually there might be some changes that you want to make. You want to actually proofread the article. There might be some welcome aboards or testimonials that you want to be throwing in there. So all that sort of stuff you want to have done by the 20th.
Yeah, any last-minute articles you want to write, you can sort of, you know, write them during the month, but, yeah, just make sure they get proofread. You've got until the end of the month to finalise your newsletter. Something funny might have happened. Your kid might have said something, you know, said the darndest thing or...
There's definitely, I mean, I find that when we're doing our newsletters, there's always people 2 days before deadline saying, oh, can we add this, can we add this? And there's really no problem doing that. Main thing
it's gorgeous. You don't want to be starting with a blank canvas on the 28th of the month, the 28th of September, 28th of August, going, oh, I've got a couple of days to get my September newsletter done so I can get off the printer. You want to start early. I think that's the... Yeah,
these dates of the month aren't set in stone. Like you put them in place the way it works for you. But I would really recommend you actually stick to them on a monthly basis, because if you can really, systems don't work if people don't follow them.
No.
So you really need to set in place the systems, and then actually have the staff or whoever's doing it actually follow those systems. So the next step is getting your database sorted and getting that finalized. So that I would have done so that you pretty much have that by the 28th. You have your database ready. And then finally on the 1st of the month, so the 1st of September, that's when you would send your newsletter to be printed. So if you're sending it to us, you would send that with, and also your database at that time as well, to us, so we can get the envelopes and the newsletter printed. If you're doing it in-house or if you're doing it at home or in your office, you'd probably want to... still on the 1st is when you want to start preparing the print and get it ready to be printed and, you know, get the envelope sorted and find out who's doing what and have all that done. And then the next step after it's actually been printed is, you know, if you're using a separate mail house and a printer, you might say by the 8th of the month. So you'd want the newsletter to be delivered from the printer to the mailing house. And then
For our September newsletter, by September 8th, we want to have the prints back from the printer, the printed copies back from the printer. We want to have those off to the mail house so that they've got, at this stage, 7 days, which it should be plenty of lead time for them.
Yep.
In order to get them into envelopes so that they can lodge on the 15th.
Yep. So, and an important point to note as well is when you are working with these other mailing houses and stuff, is you need to be very clear with them that you mail on the 15th, because like I said, if you follow this system, you're probably going to get it to them early, and you don't want them just thinking, oh, cool, we got it early, let's post it early, because you need the consistency. So, I mean, look, if you work with us, we'll never do that anyway, because we're aware of the importance. But if you are using a separate service, just be clear that, you know, your newsletter needs to be posted the same time, the same date each month. And then finally, obviously, the postage, and that needs to happen reliably on the 15th of the month, or, I mean, the business day before the 15th, or the business day after, but whatever's consistent, so that they basically get it on the 16th, or they get it the next business day after. So that's essentially the fulfillment calendar. So what you would do is you'd have that for September, and then you'd basically replicate it for October, then November, December. Now, the only one that will probably alter slightly is around sort of December, January, January's newsletter and February's newsletter, if you're doing the content in December when you're having a break or something over the New Year period, you might just want to shift a few of those dates around. But for the most part, those dates should work pretty much month to month, and you just have to put in the structures in place so that you and your staff actually follow those deadlines.
Yeah, okay. Lovely. I mean, that sounds much more manageable. Especially if you actually outsource the print and fulfillment, because that's always the low grade clerical work in all of this. It's the stuff that can be done for minimum wage, and it's probably not the best use of your or your staff's time. So, all right, time sure flies when you're having fun, Ben. I mean, we're coming up on our 3-year anniversary in September. So, I mean, and I don't think we've ever missed an issue in that time. Actually, I'm pretty sure we haven't. We've never missed an issue. No. So,
I was just going to say, we've never missed one due to our production anyway. We've had clients, we did have one client who had to reprint his newsletter halfway through because his staff member left that he was featuring that month, and he didn't want to feature that staff member. So, they're completely outside our control, but we managed to get it printed and out the door, and I think he didn't meet the deadline, but it was, I think, a day or two after. So he still had it out, you know, at a reasonable time, given that he had to completely reprint it, you know, 2 days before his newsletter was due to go out. So, but yeah, it's definitely one of those things. We've got the systems working.
Yep. So yeah, on that note, then any final tips?
Yeah, there's a few tips I can see that would probably make a difference if you follow them. So the first thing is, now that we've sort of showed you that sort of fulfillment calendar on a month-to-month basis, I recommend that you go ahead, if you're doing a newsletter, plan out the entire year. So write the calendar and put it into your schedules, put it into your diary with what days you're doing what tasks need to be completed by when and by who, and make sure that all of those parties have the actual things put in their diaries or in their whatever structure they're using to keep them on track. So if you do it for the whole year, it's very clear. Everybody knows what needs to be done by when, and you'll find that it'll happen. Then you want to actually go ahead and set alarms, reminders, calendar events, that sort of stuff. So whether if you use your phone, as a structure, or if you're using Outlook on your computer as your sort of calendar and your reminder system, make sure you put them in there each and every month so that you get those reminders a day or a couple of days before. And that'll really, really help. So after that, the other suggestion I would make is if you're using other people to help you get it done. So if you're using us, we will obviously be on board with exactly with you, whatever structure you take on to actually have it so that we can print it each month. But if you're using a local printer, or I know we have a few clients who they've kind of got clients of theirs who run printing businesses, so they kind of want to pass them the work themselves, so that they've decided to use their local client instead to get their newsletter printed. With them, they need to look at actually letting that printer or graphic designer or whoever they're using know what they need to expect from them. When are they going to be receiving the content each month to put in the design, or when do you need to have the actual artwork ready to be printed, so that the printer knows to expect it. So if they get to the second or third of the month and they're like, oh wait, we should have received the newsletter on the first, they'll actually get up and sort of say, hey, where's the newsletter, and kind of spring you into action. So it just helps to keep you accountable if you sort of let your clients, your designers, your printer know exactly when they'll be receiving it. But really, I mean, the biggest tip that I have is don't do it alone. Like, really, there's no prize for doing a newsletter yourself. There really isn't. Feel free to reach out and ask for help with it. We're here to make your life easier. When you look at the time that it takes you to do your own newsletter, unless you're charging your own rate out at like $20 or $30 an hour or something ridiculously small, like, it's going to be worth your time. Like, it really is, to outsource it, because if you can save those 3-4 up to 10 hours by using addictive newsletter content, not having to do that sort of stuff, like, it's going to save you so much time. And especially if you're sitting there printing and stuffing envelopes, you know, that can take up tens and tens of hours. So if you can avoid sacrificing your time and actually just ask for the help and get it done elsewhere, it's going to really make a difference. So we actually have a comprehensive printing and mailing service, and we've kind of mentioned it a few times, but basically all we need from you is you send us the PDF version of your newsletter template with all of the content filled in it. What we'll do is then we'll take that, and we also get you to supply your database. We print it, we fold it, we print your envelopes, we stuff the envelopes with the newsletter, we then seal your envelopes, put the stamp on, and we send it off to Australia Post. And actually, you don't even get a separate bill for them from postage. We'll just bill you for the postage with absolutely no markup. It's just at the 70-cent rate. So we just are out to make your life easier when it comes to newsletters. We know how difficult it can be, and we've already done all the work to get the system going. So you've got what you need to go and build your own system if you want to, but I'd really say, what's the point? Like, just use us wherever you can. And if you are interested in sending a newsletter to us, it's quite simple. If you want something printed and you sort of want to get a price on it and work out exactly what it's going to cost you, you just want to send a newsletter print quote request to us. And to do that, you just simply email us, and you can email us at info@newslettermarketingsystems.com.au.
Perfect. Alternatively, I guess there's you can call us on 1300 120 106, and we'll have a talk to you on the phone, and those are probably the two easiest ways to have a chat to us.
Yeah, and look, we're just really out to have you guys succeed with your newsletter. Like, we want to see what you come up with, how your newsletter goes, help you get one out in the mail each and every month, and just see what sort of responses you get, because we always love hearing the stories from our good students, let's call them that, the ones who actually do what they're told. And it's quite rewarding, actually.
So, yeah, because they're often very surprised at how well things go.
Yeah, I always, don't tell how done for you clients this, Zach, but I've got probably a little bit more admiration for the clients who actually do it themselves, because I know what it takes, and you know the our clients who just pay us to do the whole thing for us, as much as we love them, there's definitely something quite rewarding about seeing somebody actually take the action and actually do it themselves and get the results, and it's pretty cool. So looking forward to seeing what you guys can all create with your newsletter template and your addictive newsletter content, and putting it together. And you know, if you're using our printing service or not, we want to see your newsletters. Like, send them to us, mail them to us. If we see anything that jumps out as you need to change it, we will let you know.
Yep. So our mail address, for those of you that do want to send us a newsletter, is PO Box 839, Gisborne, Gisborne, Victoria, 3437. It is good. I remembered my own postcode. I think that's sort of it from you, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, as far as systems go, that's really what we've got to cover today. And that really wraps up the definitive newsletter marketing blueprint. Like, now you should have everything that you need to get a newsletter out each and every month, so that you can generate more additional profits through, you know, repeat purchases, through cross-selling, through additional referrals, and also keeping those clients loyal longer, so they just stay for years and years and years and continue to be an asset, and all the other benefits that are going to come with it as well. So I think with that, there's just so much that you're going to be able to do. And if you have any questions, or if anything's been unclear and you want to clear some stuff up, let us know. And we will answer anything newsletter related by email. And that email, again, for those people who may have missed it, is info@newslettermarketingsystems.com.au.
Perfect. All right. No, thank you for tonight. I have a newfound respect for the sort of getting a newsletter out the door every time, every month on time. So tonight Ben showed us just what's involved in getting your newsletter out, the traps you can fall into because you just try and wing it or make it up as you go along, and he also laid out actually a very simple system for how you can write your newsletter, design it yourself, get it printed, and still keep your personal involvement to a sort of fairly low threshold. I mean, can't ask for any more than that. So, finally, I guess the fifth and final webinar of the series will be next Wednesday, the 30th of July, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 Central Time, and 4:00 Western Time. And we'll actually reveal the secrets behind our own ultimate referral machine. Now, you can get your customers refer like never before, and it's a simple system that will allow you to grow between 6 and 24% year after year, depending on which end of the spectrum you fall at. We've got clients growing at 6%, we've got clients growing at 24%. So you've been warned. Enjoy. All the best, and we'll talk to you again. Actually, no, we'll throw the lines open for Q&A.
Hold on, Zach. Just for those people, just because we are recording this, that if you've been after the fact, got this, and you're interested in that referral bonus, because that isn't included for those who didn't take up the early bird. So if you are interested in finding out about that ultimate referral machine, just give us a call, 1-300-120-106, and we will let you know how you can get your hands on that.
Perfect.
But yeah, let me just close off the recording, and we will open up some questions. All right, give me a sec. I'll just turn this off now.